Weekend Wagers, brought to you by WeekendWagers.com. Motown Fisher joins us once again. Some interesting lines. You were bang on again in your picks last week. And you can sign up at WeekendWagers.com for the free newsletter. If you're an NFL, NHL, CFL guy, we'll get more into the NHL. We really kind of stay away from it in preseason. It's kind of pointless, in my opinion. Lance, the interesting one we got to talk about, because I don't understand. You need to tell me what you're thinking here. Dallas is plus one,
yeah,
without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. And you're saying that's the you're picking them? Why?
We got four plays. And like last week, remember how everybody kind of on me there with the Cats under, with the all that stuff, and we saw what happened in that Eskimo game. Wasn't even close, under by a mile, except for the ending. But, you know, we also called Dallas last week as well. So now we're back to Dallas. Why? There's simple reasons. Because Tony Romo is out. Well, that sounds like a stupid argument, doesn't it? If you really look, especially when you look at last week and you're looking at consensus bets right now, last week, they came out on the road. They beat Philly. What is Philly? We're learning Philly isn't a lot. We're learning Murray isn't a lot right now. But right now, we're looking at, other than Jason Witten, who is going to be questionable, but looks like he will be in, right now, there's a number of sports books. There's a couple of pieces of information that people have put out that if Romo wasn't hurt, this would be a minus six game for the Cowboys. So as a result, you have to say, including our raw numbers with Pro Computer Gambler that we are statistically powered by, we're saying the Dallas as a team has a huge edge. So how much does this one player make? Sounds like it's a touchdown. So now we're talking about wins and losses.
Yeah, but isn't the quarterback worth more than the receiver? Like, it's your quarterback.
Your quarterback. But apparently there is also a defense and other players and other pieces that can step up. One of the biggest overreactions we're always going to see, just like the Dez Bryant overreaction in week two last week, which made Dallas plus five, because they probably would have been, minus or plus three, plus two in Philadelphia. They were plus five. Well, this week it's completely the opposite. They would have been minus six. Instead, they're plus one at home. We got basically a line that looks right now, there's 65% of the public looking to push to 70% going to Atlanta, because it looks like an easy pick. However, let's also remember what Atlanta's done. They squeaked out two games, and last week was against the same Giants that blew week one.
Yeah, they should have lost that game, let's be honest.
So how good is Atlanta? I don't know, but are they good enough that Dallas can hang out at home, play tight? Whedon, who's been around the league for 4 years, he's 31 years old, he's been around the league, he doesn't have to play phenomenal, he doesn't have to be Tony Romo. All they need to do is win. If the defense keeps them in, this is one of those great games that just looks incredibly easy. But we've said multiple times over the last year in this show, we have to be aware of what looks simple and what's reality on the football field.
You have the Eskimos and BC under again, and that would seem like a smart play, A, because the Lions probably aren't going to score many points themselves with a rookie quarterback against this defense. Heck, Hamilton and Calgary couldn't score many points against them. And the Eskimos offense, good against Calgary for the most part this season, hasn't been putting up a lot of points.
Right. We have this game of BC under 46.5. BC's under, fourth string quarterback, kid out of Saginaw Valley State. I looked him up today. This is a Division II school, by the way. This is interesting how, the Eskimos are 11-point favorite. I don't know. I trust 11 points with the Eskimo offense. That's not something I'm thrilled with. I am thrilled. Well, thrilled is a relative term. Nobody wants to watch an under, quite frankly, especially in football. An under is terrible to watch. Unlike, really, the only good unders are baseball unders, where you can cheer for pitching. Here, what are you cheering for? It's difficult. But an interesting stat that the Esks bring up, the teams that come back from more than a touchdown late in a game tend to come fired up defensively in their next game. In the last 50 times this has happened, 17-31, 31 unders out of 48 games. Another statistic we are looking at is a road team that has a turnover margin of plus two or more, which last week's Eskimos had, tend to play unders their next game at a 65% clip, 47 overs, 85 unders. Possibly the laws of an evenly matched turnover game where last week they were incredibly in the Eskimos' favor. This week, I mean, the key is not to have turnovers. To keep unders, you don't want turnovers, especially deep in your zone. So if that's matched up, then
or have two good defenses, because last week the Eskimos turned the ball over all the time. They were still under.
But if you're playing a field position game, at some point somebody's got to give. The idea in an under in a football game is literally move it to midfield and kick.
Yeah.
So that's part of one. The other one, go ahead.
Does the I want to quickly go to quarterbacks, because now it was just came out today, so maybe it hasn't impacted yet. But New Orleans is taking on Carolina, right? In Carolina.
Yep.
Now Drew Brees is out,
right,
with the rotator cuff.
Sure.
Does that change the under in your books because of New Orleans' offense and Carolina's defense? Or, you know, how do you look at that game now without Drew Brees?
In all sports, especially in football, now right now the Carolina's a minus eight and the over-under is 42.5. Right now we haven't seen, quite frankly, we haven't seen the Saints do a lot of anything in the first two games. So sometimes this is that point where the torch is passed. Drew Brees has been a name for a long, long time, and he's a name we're stuck with. Just like Tony Romo. What happens, typically the overreaction, Carolina minus eight. What's interesting about this game, and we don't have an opinion highly on this game, but right now when we're looking at the Saints, we're going, they're minus eight on the road, but they haven't done anything. This is one of those games that you legitimately could say Carolina could crush them with Drew Brees, never mind without. So that's one of those that I'm not going to really have too much of a call on, because it's a game that would scare me, and I'd probably favor Carolina anyways.
The Tiger Cats lose their quarterback, yet it hasn't really changed the line at all. Why?
Particularly because they're an East team. Right now, they're still the whole team structure, their offensive style. This is going to be basically that Hamilton's going to make it out of the East, barring an upset. I mean, there's some value picks. Right now, the Tiger Cats last week were plus 200, 2-1 odds to win the Grey Cup. Now they're at 225. A little bit of movement. In fact, that quarter point essentially moved the Eskimos up after a couple of key wins. And the Stamps are there at 5-2 as well. But really, this wouldn't be a horrible time to start looking at those three other Eastern teams, particularly Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto, at 9-1. They're all sitting at 9-1. So it's Hamilton without a quarterback, and then all those other teams. Are any of them good enough to beat Edmonton? Well, we've seen Edmonton really struggle at times. And Calgary would probably be your bigger play right now, which you're looking at plus 250. I mean, really, you look at the last seven winners. We're probably going to be in a favorite position. The last seven winners have usually come out of first overall in the league or second overall in the league. Calgary, Saskatchewan was second overall a couple years ago. 3 years ago, Toronto was 9-9. We all remember that one. They were a 500 team that ended up making it. But before that, BC, where they made that huge surge from 0-4, they were tied for first overall. Montreal was second overall. Montreal was first overall, and Calgary's first overall. These are the last seven Grey Cup winners. It typically doesn't come from the back.
Yeah.
But is this one of those years that Calgary really, in my mind, they're probably the true favorite? But then, really, is Hamilton going to continue what they've been doing over the last so many weeks and surge through the East?
Motown Fisher from WeekendWagers.com. Go to WeekendWagers.com. Sign up for their free newsletter. What is the plays of the week, your recommendations?
Well, we talked about Dallas. We like Dallas. That's one of them. We like... last week, we were 2-1 on the show last week for the picks that we put out on Saturday, and we've also included some of our picks. We've also, by the way, Jason, we've hit our last two Sports Select picks. If you're scoring at home, we hit a two game over under for $2.89 on a dollar minimum bet, $2, right? And the week before, we hit our $3.46 wager. So, you know, sign up for the newsletter. We'll get you those tomorrow. But for the ones that we're putting out today, we're saying Buffalo, we called them under last week with the Patriots. We thought they were going to play better. They didn't. New England ate them up. This week against Miami, we really like them under. This is under 43. I really like this game. It's actually gone from 44 to 44.5, all the way to some places at 42.5. Sports Select has it at 43. I like this game under. Miami's on the lower third of the league with just four touchdowns scored.
I know they're terrible. Trust me.
Well, and the thing
is, frustrating.
Buffalo is actually ranked second, but except for the fact that they were down 30 points last week and scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So is, you know, early in the year, we're looking going, is Buffalo Buffalo all of a sudden this offensive team? Probably not. Buffalo is probably going to go back to even keel. Miami's not moving the ball well. This probably has the projections of that 17-10, 20-17 type game. That's one of the other ones I like. And then the question mark that I'm going to wait on this one, but you know we talked about it with about 20 minutes ago, you were talking about that Indianapolis game. Are they going to bounce back? Our run numbers say that Andrew Luck is going to bounce back. I mean, the luck hasn't been with them. But on the other side, you have to say that at some point, Indianapolis isn't going to go 0-3. However, with that said, I'm not making that a play yet. I'm going to talk about that in the newsletter tomorrow or Sunday. But I have to see where the line goes. Right now, some of the lines went to -3.5. That tells me that the books want money on the opponent. And in this case, when we're looking too, by the way, last week when we looked at some of the, we talked about week one and how much the public made a huge impact on all the betting. Last week it was the opposite. Last week we were looking at Miami had 63% of the bets. They got crushed. 65% of the bets were on the Rams, lost. 66% were on the Colts, including myself. I like the Colts as well. And almost 70% on the Titans. Of all the wagers that are going in, 70% were on the Titans. They all got crushed. So last week there is no numbers out officially, but we can clearly say that there was a bounce back week based on the numbers. This week, the three biggest lines are Pittsburgh at -1 on the Rams. -1, Pittsburgh.
That's it.
65%. Again, easy looking game. The Bills are on the money line, 74%. And at 65% with the line at 2.5. And Indianapolis, and because a lot of people, I've got some emails also too on the through the week and say, well, you're always on the against the public, and that's that's a strategy that some people use. You're always against the public. No, we're not always against the public, but we love to analyze the movement and the market based on what happens in a week. In fact, this week we're on Indy. We're on Buffalo. We're on Indy. Indy is a 64% bet for the public. It's okay to be on the public side. I mean, there are times you believe that is the side you should be on. But like I said, in this case, we're making a big play with the Cowboys. But on the other side, we're actually saying, which we've discussed here, you're saying the Cowboys have absolutely no chance. That's usually the biggest indicator that the Cowboys have a chance.
Motown, we'll talk to you next week. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.